hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And as promised, we are broadcasting from the deck of the Caribbean Explorer to Liveaboard. Thanks to our friends at Explorer Ventures, the official Liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We are literally anchored off the coast of Bimini and halfway through our week-long Liveaboard adventure. Now with me, Eric Douglas from Divers Alert Network. Eric, are you living the dream? Is this all what it's cracked up to be or what?
I want to stay on and just be Jane, the chef's helper, because I don't want to go home.
All right, Eric the helper boy is willing to assist Jane, the cook, here on the CX2. And
the food is so good.
Yeah, we had ribs and chicken.
Ribs and chicken tonight. I'm staying.
Baked beans. I'm sharing a cabin with Jimmy the helper boy. Look out. Yeah. It's one of us is getting gassed out. But it's going to be a nutty time for the rest of the week. But, so much has happened in the first 3 or 4 days of our Liveaboard adventure that, you know, I said, hey, let's pull out the recorder, start doing this now, because we got a lot to reflect on to share with you back home. What Liveaboard diving is all about, all the kind of things you can do on an adventure like this, not to mention the diving, which has been just perfect so far this week, and it looks like it's going to be that for the rest of the week in the Bahamas. But we've been diving with wild dolphins, and that is truly a unique experience. We'll get into that in just a bit. Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, is with us once again. Kelly, very excited, as you can plainly see. She is just bubbling over because of her encounters with the dolphins. Right, Kelly?
Yes, everything was so magical. I love it. And the best part, of course, was the dolphins.
And the quality company that you had with Jimmy the Helper Boy and myself.
From the crew and everybody else in the boat. Yes, but not much with you or Jimmy. Actually, Jimmy's not doing his job this week. I don't know.
He's not helping you enough?
No, I may need we need to make audition for our new helper boy.
Jimmy?
Greg, I joined the Helper Boys Union, and I have a card that has not been punched yet.
So the Helper Boy position is now unionized, Kelly, and that's creating friction between you and Jimmy?
Just to do audition. Let's see how many I can get it.
All right, so if there's any other folks listening right now, Kelly is looking for a new Helper Boy or two.
Yes.
And that's just Helper Boy, not Cabin Boy.
I have my wine right now. I'm so thirsty.
She's thirsty, Jimmy. Get to work or something. I don't know. It's one of the things
next.
Next? What do you mean next?
Next. Everybody else know what I mean.
Okay. I think that means you got to get her some wine quickly. Now, we have some great things to talk about. The diving, you know, these wild dolphins that Kelly just talked about truly was magical. I mean, I said this before coming out on this Liveaboard trip, that the wild dolphin experience is so unlike anything you can experience in the States or in other places like marine parks or captive dolphin swims. Not that, you know, they have their place, whatever. You know, you go do that if you don't have this option. But, man, when you get out there with the wild dolphins and they're interacting with you on their terms, it is truly an amazing experience to know that they're just as interested in you as you are in them. And that's definitely what we've experienced so far halfway through our Liveaboard adventure here with Explorer Ventures. Now, Gene Flipsy is the naturalist, the dolphin guru, the dolphin whisperer. Right, Gene?
Well, yeah, you could call me that, I suppose.
And he is like the expert who's been doing this many years in the Bahamas and is along for the ride to kind of tell us, you know, what the proper way is to approach the dolphins, how to read them a little bit, so, you know, what the right time to get in the water so that you just don't get in and scare them away. You've been doing this for how long, Gene?
I've been swimming with the dolphins out here for over 10 years.
10 years, and this experience we've had so far, it's, you know, we'll go for an hour trying to find them, but once we have them, we'll you know, we've been hanging with them for, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20, 30 minutes, that type of encounter. Fairly typical, or just varies week to week, or what?
It varies a little bit, but, you know, having a good 15 or 30-minute encounter is not unusual, like we had this afternoon where we had, you know, five dolphins that were fully engaged and very interactive with us and swimming all around, diving up and down and coming and buzzing and whistling and clicking. And, you know, that kind of thing's not unusual at all, and it's just a real special treat, as I think everybody saw this afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, the spotted wild-nosed dolphins, or no, spotted, well, they're wild dolphins, not wild-nosed, but they're, you know what I'm trying to say. They're crazy animals. They just cruise through the Bahamas here and live, what, off these the northern end of the Bahamas, these particular families or pods that we're talking about?
Actually, the spotted dolphins, you know, are found throughout the Bahamas. There's several different places where they're kind of regulars, but the ones here off of Bimini and also up off the White Sand Ridge north of Grand Bahama, people have been coming out and swimming with them for over 20 years. So a snorkeler or a swimmer in the water is not unfamiliar to them. They know that they've got a playmate, somebody that they can have a little bit of fun with. So they're very, very interactive here, more so than just about anywhere else in the world, really.
Yeah, so we got the spotted dolphins, and we also have the porpoises, the more like that you would see like at a SeaWorld type of dolphin. And actually, those are a little bit more rare to interact with here in the Bahamas, but our first encounter ended up being porpoises, right?
Yeah, bottlenose dolphin, and they're common throughout the Bahamas and South Florida, or all of Florida, and they're the ones that you see if you go to a SeaWorld or one of the, you know, Oceanarium kind of parks where they have swim with dolphin programs. Those are all bottlenose dolphins, and we did have a nice swim with some of those here today. They're a little bit more standoffish, a little bit more aloof, but we had a nice swim.
Kind of like Kelly sometimes.
Sometimes, but then again, they can also be quite charming too, kind of like Kelly.
Well, there you go.
Hello.
and did I make a mistake by calling the bottlenose dolphins porpoises? Are those the same thing or what?
No, actually, they're dolphins and porpoises are two different things. A lot of people use the terms interchangeably, but there's actually just a handful of species of porpoises, and most of what people think of porpoises are actually dolphins. So everything we've been seeing out here have been dolphins of one species or another, either bottlenose or spotted dolphins.
Nice. So these dolphins in this particular area, a little bit more acclimated to the divers, so they have a tendency to hang around when people get in the water. Unlike if you were just scuba diving around some other place in the Caribbean, they wouldn't necessarily hang around. They have a tendency to be a little bit more spooked when people get in the water. Is that right?
Yeah, generally so. I mean, dolphins are very intelligent, very curious animals anyway, so there's always a chance anywhere in the wild that if you're in the water and one comes across you while you're diving that he might give you an interaction. But these, especially the spotted dolphins here, are very, very interactive, very playful, you know, it's more than just an idle curiosity. They're actively playing and participating in the interaction between the swimmer, the snorkeler, and the dolphins themselves. And so it's a one-on-one or 2-on-20 or whatever it happens to be. It's just a big, big fun running around in the park kind of playtime for the dolphins. It's much more interactive than you might expect anywhere else.
Yes, well, indeed it is. And you know, one of the tips that you share with everybody on the boat is that once we get in the water and you have an opportunity to kind of see how they're acting, because you've watched them for, you know, 10 plus years now, you kind of have picked up certain patterns and you kind of know, okay, they're doing this, so the divers should start swimming around acting like dolphins or mimicking their energy. Is that what you were kind of telling us?
Yeah, dolphins, like just about any other animal, including us, they have different moods and different different energy levels. Sometimes they're a little more sleepy and more relaxed, and other times they're very fired up and very rowdy and very playful. And so, you know, the best thing to do when you get in the water with them is try to mirror that energy level that they're exhibiting. If they're all fired up, then you better be fired up and playful too, or else they're going to think you're just a boring playmate and they might move off. Or if they're really more sleepy or relaxed, then you should try to be pretty relaxed your own self so that they'll enjoy hanging out with you. If you come on too hard and fast with them, or too energized when they're trying to sleep, you know, you might disturb them and they might decide to go find someplace a little more peaceful. So that's an important part of it.
Yeah, nice. Now, as we said a couple of weeks ago on Scuba Radio, Gene was a part of that film, The Cove. We talked to Simon, what's his name? Hutchinson, right. Hutchins, right, yeah. And from The Cove, the movie, check it out, thecovethemovie.com. And he was a part of that shoot in Japan where they were slaughtering the dolphins. And I would imagine that was a hit home for you personally. But I don't know, how did you feel about being a part of that whole project there, Gene?
Well, I'm very happy to have had the opportunity to participate in that project. My contribution was relatively small compared to what some of the major players in that film did. They worked for years on it and put an awful lot of effort into it, and it's a groundbreaking piece of documentary filmmaking that they produced, the most powerful expose on the issue that's happened yet. You know, I was very happy to be there, and it was a little daunting when I got the invitation from the Oceanic Preservation Society to participate in that. I've had the good fortune to work with dolphins in the wild and with dolphin researchers and in marine mammal facilities, and I've seen many different aspects of dolphins, and it was a part of the puzzle for me to be able to go there and just learn more about another aspect of dolphins that I didn't know. I was intimidated a bit, you know, being confronted with something like this. But then I also realized that if I didn't take advantage of the opportunity, I would always regret it, and there'd be one more piece of the puzzle that I'd never be able to put in place. So I went and contributed as best I could, and I'm very happy that I had the opportunity to do so. It's a very powerful subject, and there's still a lot of work to be done, but The Cove has done a remarkable job at changing things even so far. I mean, the dolphin fishery has started back up again. It starts in September in Japan, and it's been going on, but this year already, whereas every dolphin that was captured was ultimately doomed, this year they had several captures where the dolphins, they kept many of them for sale to marine mammal facilities for captive swim with dolphin programs, and whereas before they would keep some to sell and then kill all the rest, on this occasion they actually released all of the dolphins, about 70 I believe, that were not going to be used that were not going to be sold. However, a few days later they did capture and kill, I believe it was 50 pilot whales. So it still goes on, but the Cove did an amazing job at bringing the issue to light, and hopefully we'll continue to do so as time goes on.
Yeah, and check it out, thecovemovie.com. You can go there on the web, find out where that movie's going to show up in a city near you. Hey, we got more from the Caribbean Explorer 2 next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center in Key Largo, Florida, and you're listening to my good buddy and dive pal, Greg the Dive Master, from the world's first radio show devoted to diving, Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I love it.
Yeah, so Captain Slate, he's going to host Single Scott on a rec trek down through the Florida Keys here in a couple weeks. We'll hear about that, obviously, in a couple weeks right here on the big show. Now, we are back on deck here at the Caribbean Explorer 2 from Explorer Ventures, anchored off the coast of Bimini in the Bahamas, hanging with wild dolphins. And by the way, at the commercial break, Kelly said she's already found a new helper boy. In that span of just a few minutes, you've already replaced Jimmy?
Yes, it's so easy to replace Jimmy, trust me.
So who is your new victim?
We can do the let's do the audition because I think that'd be a great idea.
Oh, there's an auditioning, or is it an auditioning or a hazing process? What is it?
Huh?
Is it a hazing process or audition? What are you going to have the person do? Who is it?
I cannot tell you. Let's do the audition first, and no t-shirt. Have to come shirtless.
Oh, it's one of those type of things.
Yeah.
Himmy.
Yes, he'll have to carry that pink bag with him to the airport with one hand.
Okay.
Yeah, probably I'm going to get a stronger one next time with some muscles. So, yeah, he'll be fine with one arm.
Yes, he has to be able to lift Kelly's makeup bag, which, you need to have some muscles. What? Don't let him talk anymore?
No,
now he's been demoted.
He talk all day. Everybody in the boat so tired of him talk.
Okay. Okay, well, I don't know. Yemi, I got to let him say at least something to that.
In my own defense, Greg, nevertheless, no matter who she picks, we'll have to be certified by the United Helper Boys of Scuba Radio Union, or as they're commonly referred to, you hoser.
Okay. You hoser. No, that's not true.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Fair enough. As you can see, the diving is done for the day, so the drinking has begun. Kelly has her wine. Yemi has God knows what. And we're hanging with a couple of members of the Naked Chicken Club, Naked Chicken Scuba Club. But before we find out what that's all about, let's talk dolphin. Because, it's not every day we have an opportunity to hang with Gene Flipsy from Explorer Ventures. Actually, he has his own website. By the way, what is the whale and dolphin website there that you manage, Gene?
It's ConsciousBreathAdventures.com.
All right. And basically, not only do you offer these trips where you act as the, dolphin expert or naturalist, you also do whales as well, right?
Right. Conscious Breath Adventures specializes in one-week liveaboard trips to swim with humpback whales in the waters of the Dominican Republic's Silver Bank.
Now, how is that different from the dolphins other than they're bigger?
Well, they're definitely bigger. I mean, they're about as big as a school bus. But they're different because it's not as playful of an interaction. Here, you jump in the water and you're very active and playing with the dolphins. With the humpback whales, you enter the water very quietly, and you basically let their natural curiosity bring them to you. So it's a very passive, very relaxed approach that lets them come to you on their terms, at their pace. And they do. They're very curious, very interactive, and you can have a 40-ton animal that's just 20 feet away from you, looking you in the eye, and it's an amazingly powerful experience.
Nice. Well, we're definitely going to have to add that one to the Scuba Radio list for sure. That's certain months out of the year, right, in the Silver Banks. What are the months again, thereabouts?
February and March. February and March. It's when the North Atlantic humpbacks migrate south for the winter, like a lot of other people or a lot of other creatures that like to migrate south for a little bit of romance in the warm Caribbean sun and waters. And so they come down there to mate and to calve and have a nice winter away.
Nice. Now, what about the dolphins? Let's talk dolphin here, because Himmy did bring up something there during the break about how, what are all these clicks, pops, and bubbles and all this kind of thing that the dolphins are making underwater? Is there actually a way to decipher what they're actually saying? Do we know or have a idea of what they're trying to communicate to each other other than, hey, look at the goofy thing with legs over there? What is it?
Well, there have been and there are a lot of people studying dolphin and whale vocalizations, trying to see if they can decipher the language. And nobody has successfully done that so far. But I'm sure people will keep trying, because there's no question that they are, communicating on some level. They have very large and well-developed brains, and they're highly intelligent creatures. You can tell that just from spending a few minutes in the water with them.
Yeah, that's what we thought when we first met Jimmy, actually. But then we learned otherwise as time went on.
I've since been proven wrong.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's, kind of what I was saying. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. All right, we are back here on the deck of the CX2. Thanks to our friends at Explorer Ventures, the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Anchored off the coast of Bimini, just kicking back with a beverage or two. Now that the diving day is done, you know, swimming with wild dolphins, snorkeling with them. Now, Gene Flipsy, our naturalist dolphin expert on board to help us through this process of interacting with the dolphins most, efficiently and knowing how to get in the water without spooking them, that kind of thing, so we can really have some quality time with these magnificent animals. Now, Gene, you were telling us earlier today, too, that each dolphin actually has a signature whistle, like it's their name, and you can hear this whistle underwater. You hear all kinds of racket and squeaking and bubble rings. I mean, you know, when they swim by, you see this trail of bubble rings, just like I see trail behind Yimmy the helper boy. You hear what I'm saying? Is that his signature whistle or what?
Well, that trail of bubbles wasn't coming out of his blowhole, or, well, maybe the blowhole in his shorts, but a little bit different than a signature whistle, I suppose, but there were bubbles involved. So.
Yes, yeah, exactly, and I don't think you would want to swim through them.
In my defense, Greg, it was Mexican Day that day.
Well, it was. I'll give you that much. It was good. It was good Mexican. But the signature whistle, that's what the dolphins, you think they're like shouting out their name or saying, hey, Jay, Joe, and, yelling at each other, what's up?
Well, you know, like I said before, there's been people that have done lots of studies and continue to do studies on the vocalizations. And one of the things that was learned was that, you know, the dolphins have this sort of high-pitched whistle that they do that, to our ears, all sounds basically the same, just a high sort of squeaky sort of whistle. But when that sound is recorded and slowed way down and analyzed properly, it turns out that every dolphin, their whistle is unique.
It sounds like, hey, Joe, how are you? What's the goofy guy with bubbles coming out of his ass? Yeah, that kind of thing?
Yeah, when it's slowed down. That's
yeah, exactly. It's like the whole Beatles backward record. Okay, maybe I made that part up. I don't know. But look, we got more coming up from the CX2. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Hey, I did the best night dive ever. We'll talk about that next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive! Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. The world's first radio show devoted to diving. Scuba
Radio. Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
I took a dive.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master on the Caribbean Explorer to live aboard, just anchored off the coast of Bimini in the Bahamas. Wild dolphins, just awesome diving as we usually experience off these live aboard trips. Literally one of the best, if not the best night dive I have ever done was right off this boat last night. And I'll talk with Eric from Divers Alert Network here in just a bit about that. But first, we just found out during the break that not only has Jimmy the Helper Boy been demoted from Kelly, has basically fired him. Is that right, Kelly?
Yes.
He now has a new nickname. Do you like this nickname that we came up with during the break?
You mean the Blue Balls?
No, that would be a different one. That's your pet name. His new nickname is Jimmy the Bubble Boy. You like that one?
Yeah, he can have that one.
He can have that one. All right, so Bubble Boy, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally good with Bubble Boy Blue Ball.
Okay, we'll just go with Bubble Boy, I think. I don't really get the whole other thing, and I think we want to leave that one lie. But you know, this night dive, Kelly, you didn't get to do this night dive with me, and you missed it. Jimmy didn't do this night dive, but Eric went on this night dive with me that was unfriggin' believable. I've never seen that many turtles condensed in one small little site in the history of my diving career. And Gene, what was that wreck that we did with all these turtles last night?
That wreck, it's north of Bimini. It's called the Hesperus.
Hesperus. So I bet this thing wasn't, 30 yards long, maybe not even that, right?
Yeah, that's about right. I think it's like 75 feet long or something like that.
Yeah, and we get down there and you said, oh, we might see some turtles. And we got down there. There must have been at least 10, if not more. And these things were massive. They had to be 400 or 500 pound turtles. These things were just huge. And they had remoras hanging from them. We had stingrays. I mean, how did that rate in your night diving career? But I got to say, for me, that was spectacular. Was that unique or what?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. You see loggerhead turtles asleep on the wrecks here in the Bahamas pretty frequently. They like sleeping around them at night, so you know, I expected that we'd see a couple turtles, but when we got in the water and saw how many there were, I was totally unprepared for that. That was a total treat.
Yeah, it was quite remarkable. And then we come back up and I'm telling Captain Dave about this. He says, yeah, you know what, maybe, I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but just what, this past Tuesday they closed down turtle hunting in the Bahamas countrywide, where it's no longer legal to harvest turtles, which used to be a major staple of their food supply back in the day for the Bahamians. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, back in the day, harvesting turtles was very much a staple thing to do. And then many years ago, they just created a closed season where turtles were protected during the egg-laying season, but it was still legal to harvest turtles in the Bahamas during that season until September 1st, when the Bahamian government finally instituted a nationwide all-year-round ban, no more taking of turtles in the Bahamas, period. And that's a really big positive step for the turtles, for sure.
Yeah, well, I think divers can appreciate that fact, because we love seeing turtles underwater. And maybe that's why we saw so many turtles there on that wreck site last night. They were getting together, having a little party. Yo, no one's going to eat us. Woohoo! We got a Dan tip next. Stay close. And then more back from the CX2.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. Patty, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 63. Every attempt to train a catfish to use an underwater litter box is proven unsuccessful.
Hey, hang on, you guys. I'll be right back.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in with us today, we have Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. You got a boo-boo, Jeff?
No, why?
Well, you've got 6 first aid kits over there, and I am wondering what's going on.
I thought we'd talk about choosing a first aid kit today, and so I was just going through some of the choices.
Ah, okay. Well, that's actually a good idea. I know just about everyone I know has a first aid kit of some sort, but I can't say that any of us actually sat down and thought about what it should contain.
Most folks don't, and that's only natural. First aid kits tend to come prepackaged, and so it's just assumed that the kit will have what it's supposed to have.
But supposed to is a relative term, isn't it?
I'd say more like an incomplete term. What any kit should contain largely depends on the setting in which it will be used and the problems you anticipate having to solve.
Is anything ever simple?
Absolutely. This isn't complicated, just another example of how a little thought can have big benefits.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, I'd say start general and somewhere in line with your needs and skills. If you want just a few Band-Aids handy, you can get a very basic first aid kit that contains really only that. Band-Aids, some gauze, and maybe some antibiotic cream. You might even want to get a couple to store in different places, you know, one for the house, one for the car, that sort of thing.
Surely you need more than that, though, right?
Well, that's the start. I do recommend that everyone have a good all-purpose first aid kit, and these are generally considered the next step up from the basic. In them, you'll find the tools that will cover a variety of scenarios, from illnesses to cuts to burns and bites, rashes, a pretty wide variety.
Is that what you have?
I actually keep a good all-purpose first aid kit stocked in a central location with several smaller supplemental basic ones stashed in handy places.
What about dive-specific first aid kits?
I'd really suggest having a solid all-purpose first aid kit as your base and then supplement it as necessary with diving-specific considerations.
For example,
you may want to ensure the kit has tools for dealing with hazardous marine life injuries. A lot of first aid kits will have the tweezers we recommend for removing stings, but you may find you'll need to add a razor for shaving the area or a hot pack in case you don't have hot water to soak in. You may want to add a small bottle of hydrogen peroxide or a syringe for irrigating a wound. A lot of divers have taken to adding a resuscitation mask to the repertoire, as well as extra pair of gloves to protect them if they have to lend assistance.
So what you're saying is get a good, solid basis and customize from there.
Exactly. It doesn't take that much.
Well, what else do we need with our first aid kits?
The knowledge to use them. Don't forget that even the most extensive first aid kit isn't going to be very effective if you don't know how the contents should be used. If you're going to invest in a first aid kit, take the time to invest in some training as well.
Wow. If you take a minute to think about what you need, it really isn't that complicated, is it?
Nope. Most first aid kits are intended to provide basic first aid, and it's called basic for a reason.
Basic works for me. Seriously, how many Band-Aids do you have over there? Sometimes you just need a Band-Aid, and sometimes you need a bit more. First aid kits come in a variety of shapes and sizes, and everyone should have one on hand. Take a minute to think about what you need, and then take another to make sure you know how to use it. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And I believe everybody on board the CX2 is a proud Dan member, as they should be, before any major dive live aboard trip, or any dive trip for that matter. Now, Eric Douglas has been nice enough to join us on board for our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise this week. Eric, you've had a great time. You gave a nice little presentation on, dive accident statistics that Dan gathers and does all this research on last night. That was good stuff.
I appreciate that, Greg. Actually, I have to say, I've been told that I've been thanked for giving that presentation and reminding everybody of all the ways it's possible to die while diving. But I will say, in contrast to that, we had the most heavily attended night dive last night. The most people off the boat went on the night dive last night immediately after my presentation. So obviously I didn't scare anybody too badly.
Yes, and it ended up being a great night dive.
And it was an amazing night dive. I don't want to steal your thunder. I know you wanted to talk about that later. But
We just talked about it while you were away.
I was fixing another...
all those turtles. They were celebrating life. Yeah, he was fixing a cocktail. It works for Dan, but he's human, okay?
I am human.
A lot of people think the people behind Dan are these stuffy, all they do is research, wear white coats, the whole thing. That's not necessarily the case. They are human beings. They are just like every other diver out there, just looking out for you to make you safer and to hang out and enjoy a good time. That's what it's about, the whole social aspect of this sport that we love so much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I was so pleased to be able to accept this invitation from Scuba Radio to come on the Caribbean Explorer 2. We've had a great time, and I've had so many great offline conversations with just divers on the boat talking about the questions that every diver has. And then I did do that presentation last night, but we've also taken the opportunity to make this a research trip. We're collecting the dive profiles from every diver on board. I have to say, I was very impressed that every diver on board agreed to participate. Didn't really give them a whole lot of choice, but they could have said no.
Clip this on your BC. Move away.
Just shut up and do it. But everybody's participating in some research that Dan's doing. And we'll probably pull about 200 dive profiles off this week-long trip, so that's a pretty significant accomplishment as well, or significant addition to the program. So, we're actually having a lot of fun here, but actually doing some good stuff at the same time.
Absolutely. And we're just hanging out, talking to divers, sharing a few fish tales with friends, people from all walks of life. We have a couple from Germany. We have some folks from the Cayman Islands. We have a couple from St. Pete that belong to the Naked Chicken Scuba Diving Club or something. St. Petersburg, Florida. Is that right? What's your name? Did I get it right, St. Pete?
St. Pete, Florida, yes. My name's Joni.
Joni and your husband?
Joe.
Joni and Joe. The Naked Scuba... What?
Naked Chicken Divers.
The Naked Chicken Divers Dive Club. I got to admit, in my 12 years of doing scuba radio, I have never heard of the Naked Chicken Divers Scuba Club. So you guys just have a thing for dressing up as chickens and going diving? What's the deal?
Or undressing.
Wait a minute. What kind of costume is this exactly?
No, actually, the only the chicken is naked. The divers are not naked. And it's just a rubber chicken that became our mascot.
Okay, so you guys go diving with your naked chicken, and I haven't seen it on this liveaboard trip yet, but evidently he's hanging out somewhere. We'll find out after the break. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Scuba Radio.
But you don't think sharks are sexy, do you?
No. Wait a minute, what was the Little Mermaid?
Ooh, baby, I'm going down. I'm going down. 'Cause you ain't around, baby. My whole world's upside down.
Well, you know, you might be more happy about it if you belong to the Naked Chicken Scuba Diving Club in St. Pete. Or, well, at least this couple's out of St. Pete. Is this a worldwide phenomenon, the Naked Chicken Scuba Club here? Tell me a little bit more about this club you have.
Well, it's not worldwide, but we have people from as far away as Chicago and Curacao who dive with us. Because once you dive with the Naked Chicken, you just can't go without.
It's just a whole different type of experience. Now, I haven't seen the Naked Chicken show its face here on our liveaboard. Is the Naked Chicken on board?
Only on my shirt.
Only on your shirt. Okay, so he's bringing it down virtually and in spirit on this particular trip. But sometimes you actually have a Naked Chicken or a rubber chicken attached to your BC, and then you take them on your various excursions, and God knows what happens.
God knows what happens to the Naked Chicken. Of course, the Naked Chicken is still resting from the Cozumel trip, because the Naked Chicken was kind of hung on the rearview mirror and dragged around the whole island.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens in Mexico. You have a couple of tequilas. Next thing you know, the chicken's being dragged around the back of your car. That's just part of the whole experience, right?
Right. And, you know, after the Utila experience with the boat captain who took advantage of the chicken while we were in the water.
Your chicken's been violated?
The chicken has been violated.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a pretty twisted group you got there.
It is a pretty twisted group.
Now, is there some kind of ceremony that we could do to be a part of this, or do we just have to have a rubber chicken on our next dive and kind of like give you a picture or what?
No, you know what? Anybody can join the Naked Chickens and just come on a dive trip anytime. We go once a year, and it's open to anybody who has the money to pay.
Okay, and so if you have the money to pay and have a picture of you dressed up as a chicken that's naked... I have something screwed up, right?
It helps, yeah. If you have a picture of you dressed up as a chicken, that would definitely help. You'd be in like Flint.
All right, cool. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of cool people, people that we meet. They're just as mixed up as we are. And that's why we love this sport so much. We're going to meet some more folks on board from the Cayman Islands. We have a listener on board who has been hanging out with Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, and now Jimmy the Bubble Boy. We'll find out if meeting them in person has, pretty much burst his bubble, or he's been excited about the whole adventure. And we're going to talk to the captain of the crew here on the Caribbean Explorer 2. That's on hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.